Today's shiur is Perek Tisha Asar Mehilchos Ishus, Chapter 19 of the Laws Concerning Marriage. Halacha Aleph, Paragraph 1. Mitnai haksuba. One of the conditions of the ksuba is Sheyiu banim hascharim yarshim ksubas iman un dunyasa shehichnisa bateras nichset zayin barzel. That the male children should inherit the ksuba of their mother. That is the basic and supplementary amount that is written in the ksuba, that the husband owes his wife in the event that he dies or he divorces her, as well as the dowry that she brought into the marriage that is considered to be iron sheep property. In an earlier chapter, the Rambam explained that that refers to property that belongs to the wife that she brings into the marriage, and that the appreciation or the depreciation belongs to the husband and not to the wife. That means that if it depreciates, he has to pay her the difference, and if it depreciates, he keeps the profit. Now, all of this is inherited by the male children. The Rama will explain the next halacha what this means. After they inherited the ksuba, as well as the dowry, they then divide the rest of the estate equally with their brothers. And the Rama now explains in halacha beis how this is to be understood. Beis, ketzad, how so? Nasa isha, ksubasa undunyasa elef, v'yolda bein, umesa b'chayav. A man marries a woman, the ksuba, together with a dowry, amounts to 1,000 zuz. And this woman gives birth to a child, and she dies in the lifetime of her husband. Now, of course, when a woman dies, her husband automatically inherits her and inherits the ksuba as well as the dowry. The ksuba is obviously something that was not yet collected. And then the husband then remarries. Ksubasa undunyasa masayim. In this case, the second marriage, the ksuba and the dowry together adds up only to 200 zuz. V'yolda bein umesa b'chayav. She then bears him a child, a son, and then she dies in the lifetime of her husband as well. V'yachar kach meis hu. And then the husband dies, v'hiniach alpayim, and he leaves 2,000 zuz, a total. That is his whole estate. This is how we divide it up. B'no min harishona, the son that he had from the first wife, yorish elef, shebiksubas imo, he inherits the 1,000 zuz that was part of the ksuba of his mother, the basic and supplementary amount together with the dowry. Ubno min hashniya yarish masayim shebiksubas imo. While the second son, the one that he had from the second wife, will inherit the 200 of his mother's ksuba. Now that takes care of 1,200. For hashar, the other 800 that is left over, yarishim osa b'shava, that they split up and they divide equally. Nimtza b'yad ben harishona elef v'arba meos. As a result, the first son, the son of the first wife, will inherit a total of 1,400, while the second son, the son of the second wife, will inherit 600. However, the Rambam qualifies this in Halacha Gimel, in paragraph 3. Bamed varam amurim, when does the foregoing apply? That we divide, first we give the sons the ksuba of their mother, and then we divide equally. Bishihiniach yoser al kedei shtei ksubos diner echad o yoser. When the father left more than the amount of the two ksubas, at least one diner, or more than one diner. What is the reason for this? Kedei shiyichalku hashar b'shavim. So there should be something left over. There should be a surplus that they can divide equally. But if they did not leave a dinner more than the amount that is contained in the ksuba, then you divide everything equally. And the reason for this is as follows. Im yirshu elu ksubas iman, v'elu ksubas iman, v'lo yishar dinner echad lachlik osa ben hayarshim, nimtza tenai ze mevatel chiluk yirusha ben habanim b'shave shehu min ha-Torah. For if these sons will inherit the ksuba of their mother, the son of the first wife, and the son of the second wife will inherit the ksuba of his mother, and there will be nothing left, not even one dinner, that they could divide among them equally, as a result, this condition, this rabbinical stipulation that the son should inherit the ksuba of their mother, will eliminate the laws of inheritance among the sons, that all sons inherit equally, which is biblical. The rabbis cannot do away with a biblical law, because according to the laws of the Torah, all sons inherit equally. And since there is nothing left for them to inherit equally, as a consequence, the rabbi's enactment goes against the law of inheritance of the Torah. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Hu hadin lemi shenasa nashim rabos. The same law would apply to someone who married many wives. Bein bezuachazu, bein bebasachaz, whether he married them consecutively or he married them simultaneously. And they all died in the husband's lifetime, and they all had male sons from him. If there is in excess of all the ksubas combined a dinar, so then all of them can inherit the ksuba of their mother, and the rest we can divide equally. However, if there isn't, then we divide everything equally. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Amra Hayisomim Hare Anu Mailin Al Nichsi Avino Yoser Diner Kidei Sheit Luxubas Iman Ein Shomin Lehem El Shomin Es Anachasim Bevezdin Kama Shehayu Shavim Bishas Mises Avihem. What happens, the Rambam says, if in order to be entitled to their mother's ksuba, the orphans say like this: let us add an excess of one diner to our father's estate, so that we will be allowed to take and inherit the ksuba of our mother, which will give us more than what we would have if we divide everything equally. The Rambam rules no attention need be paid to them. What do we do? Rather, an assessment should be made in court of the value of the property, whatever it was worth at the time of their father's death. And even though the value of the property of the estate of the father might have increased, or it might have decreased after the father's death, before they came to divide it among themselves, we do not assess the value of the field according to what it is worth now, but according to the way it was worth at the time the father died. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Ha yesham yoser akadei kol haksubas diner, o yoser, av api sheyesh olav shtar chov keneged hayoser, eina mimayit. We already learned before that if there is one dinar in the estate of the father in excess of what the total amount of the ksubas are, they could then inherit the ksubas of their mother, and the dinar they divide among themselves. What happens, the Rambam says, if there was one dinar extra or more, even though that dinar belongs or is mortgaged, there's a lien on it to one of the creditors, it does not diminish that dinner. We do not regard it as if that dinner doesn't exist. But nevertheless, each one can inherit the ksuba of their mother. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Mi shehayin nasu shtei nashim, umesa achas mehen b'chayav, v'achas achar moso, v'lo banim mishtehem. This is a case where a man was married to two wives. One of the wives dies during his lifetime. The other one dies after the husband dies. And we're assuming that she did not have an opportunity to collect her ksuba, even though her husband died before she did, and she was entitled to a ksuba, she didn't yet have the opportunity to do so. The Rambam continues, Af al pi shelo haniach yaser al shtei ksubos, even though he didn't leave anything in excess of the two ksubas, the amount that is contained in the ksuba, im nishba hashniya shvus almana, kodim shetamus, baneha kodmin yerushas ksubasa. Even though he did not leave anything in excess of the two ksubas, as we said before, if the second widow gives the oath that a widow has to give when she collects her ksuba, that she did not have anything, that nothing was given to her in payment of the ksuba beforehand, and she made that oath before she died, her children take precedence in the inheritance of her ksuba. B'pnei she'einam yarshim ksubas imam b'tanai zeh, Ela Yerusha Shel Torah. Because the title that they are claiming to the ksuba is not based on the rabbinical stipulation that the ksuba of the male children that we refer to at the beginning of the chapter, but it's based on the law of inheritance as it is mentioned in the Torah. V'yachar kach yarshim b'nei harishona ksubas imam b'tanai zeh. And only afterwards could the children of the first wife inherit the ksuba of their mother based on this stipulation of the ksuba, that male children inherit the ksuba of their mother. The point being made here is, very simply, that since their mother was entitled to her ksuba and had already the opportunity to collect it before the husband died, they automatically inherited that from their mother without a need to rely on the stipulation of the ksuba, but the biblical law of inheritance. And that, of course, takes precedence to the law of the stipulation of the ksuba. Now, as far as the question that could be asked, how could they each inherit the ksuba of their mother when we learned before that there has to be something in excess of the amount of the ksuba? The answer to that is that the ksuba that is being collected by the children of the second wife is itself the excess of the ksuba. That is, the first ksuba. Because the first ksuba is a debt that they had, and they are obligated to repay any of the debts that might exist. Because all of the children have the responsibility to pay the ksuba that is their father's responsibility. And that is their inheritance. The inheritance is the obligation to repay the debt, and this is what is left over after that obligation. And therefore, they're entitled to inherit that. Then the Rambam continues, V'im nishar sham klum chelkin oisim b'shava. And if there's anything left over, then they divide it equally. V'im meisa kodem shetishava. However, the Rambam says, if the widow dies before she had the opportunity to give the oath in court, which entitles her to her ksuba, and because of that, because she was not really entitled to the ksuba without the oath, you would have to then be in a position to inherit the oath. And there's a law that a person does not give over, cannot bequeath money to an heir. Money that you have to give an oath for is something you cannot inherit. Therefore, the children of the second wife do not inherit the ksuba of their mother, but bnei harishona yarshim ksubas imam bilvad, the children of the first wife will inherit the ksuba of their mother, and they alone will do so. V'hashar cholkin b'shava, while the rest would be divided equally among the two. Halacha ches, paragraph 8. Ha'yu nasu shtei nashim, v'ha'yu libanim mehen u'meiz, v'yachar kach meisu ha'nashim. If a man was married to two wives, and he had children, he had sons from the two wives, and he died, and subsequently the two wives died as well. Im nishbu, v'yachar kach meisu, if they both gave the oath to receive their ksuba, and only after then do they die. Therefore, they were already entitled to the money of the ksuba. Kol echad v'echad yarish ksubas imo b'yerusha shel Torah v'lo b'tnai zeh. Each one of them, each set of children, will inherit the ksuba of their mother based on the biblical law of inheritance, but not simply because of the tnai, of the stipulation that is attached to the ksuba, that male children inherit the ksuba of their mother. We don't have to refer to that, to resort to that, because here there's a biblical law of inheritance that would apply, where it goes directly from the mother to the children. Lefichach, ein mashgichin im yesham mosar o ein sham. Therefore, we pay no attention if there is some excess, surplus, or there is not. They both inherit the ksuba of their mother because of the biblical law. V'yarsha harishona kod min l'yarsha hashniya. And the heirs of the first wife take precedence to the heirs of the second wife, because the debt incurred in the first marriage is before the debt incurred in the second marriage. V'im lo nishbu. Now, what happens if they both didn't have the time, the opportunity to give the oath? Cholkim habanim hakol b'shava. Then they both have to divide. That means both children of both wives divide everything equally. V'ein sham yerushas ksuba, and there is no inheritance of the ksuba at all. And the reason for that is very simple, because the ksuba requires an oath. And the widow has no right to the ksuba until she gives the oath. And as far as the law, the stipulation of the ksuba, that the male children inherit the ksuba of their mother, that does not apply here, because these wives did not die in the lifetime of their husband, so the husband didn't inherit from the wife, and therefore the children don't inherit from the husband. In this case, we have to depend on the biblical law of inheritance straight from the mother, and the mother never inherited the ksuba, so there's nothing for them to inherit. Halacha test, paragraph 9. Achas nishba of achas lo nishba. Now, what happens in the same case that we just discussed before, where there are two wives, they both had sons, and the two wives died, but beforehand the husbands died, and one of them had an opportunity to swear, to give the oath, one of the widows, before she died, but the other one did not have the opportunity to give the oath. So the law is as follows. Zu shenishba, the one who did give the oath, baneha yarshin ksubasa tchila. Her children, her sons, that is, inherit her ksuba first, vahashar chalkin osa bishava, while the rest is divided equally among the sons. V'chol hayorish ksubas imo shemeitha b'chayi aviv, ein a toref minchasa mishubadim. Whoever inherits the ksuba of his mother, a mother who died in the lifetime of the father, one does not collect from properties that were sold in the lifetime of the father. The son can only collect from property that is free, that is, property that was not mortgaged, not sold to someone else. Kechol hayarshim, just like all other heirs who have no right to collect from sold mortgage property. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10, Umitznoi ksuba, one of the other stipulations of the ksuba is, Shetiyena habanos nizonos minichse avien achar moso ad sheyis orsu o ad sheyivgaru, that the daughters should be supported, should be fed, from the estate of their father after he dies, until they are either betrothed or until they become of age, whichever comes first. Bagra habas afa pishlo nisarsa o nisarsa afa pishlo bagra ein lamizonos. And the Rambam explains it in detail, that if she became of age, that is 12 and a half, even though she was not yet betrothed, or she had become betrothed, even though she had not yet reached that age, she is not entitled to mizonos, to food, from her father's estate. Bas hanizonos v'nichse avi halachar moso, basa yadeho mitziyasa la'atzma, lo la'achim. Now a daughter who was maintained from the estate of her father after he dies, her earnings, and anything she finds, she can keep herself, and they did not go to the brothers, unlike the law of a wife who was supported by her husband. She must also give her earnings and anything she finds to her husband. This is not the case when a daughter is supported from the estate of the father. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Poskin labas mezonos uksus umadar minichsi avia kederech sheposkin la'amana. The daughter is allocated food, garment, and a dwelling place from the estate of her father, just as we allocate these things for a widow. And we are allowed to sell the estate of the husband, of the father, for the food, for the garments of the daughters, without having to make an announcement beforehand, because we can't wait anything any longer, just as we're allowed to sell the estate of the husband for the food and the garments of a widow. Ella shahaisha poskala lefi kvoda kvod habal. V'lebanos poskala hen dover hamaspik lehen bilvad. Ve'ein habanos nishbos. However, there are some differences between a widow and a daughter. And the Rambam says there are two differences. One is that the wife is allocated food and garments according to her dignity, according to her status in life, or according to the husband's status, if it is even higher than hers. However, the daughters, we allocate food and her garments according to her needs, and not any more than her needs. Another difference is that the daughters do not have to give an oath before they collect this food and maintenance. However, in the case of the widow does have to give an oath, as we learned before in chapter 18. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Ein habanim yarshin ksubas iman, v'lo habanos nizonos b'tnoim elu, ad sheyia shtar ksuba yotze mitachas yadam. The sons did not inherit the mother's ksuba, and the daughters did not get their food based on these stipulations until they can produce a written ksuba. Avla'im ein sham shtar ksuba, ein lehem klum, shem amachla imam ksubasa. But if they do not have a ksuba, a document, they get nothing, because we're afraid maybe the mother had waived her right to the ksuba. V'imein darkam lichtav ksuba, yesh lahem kafiyat tnoim. However, if it is not the custom in those regions to write a ksuba, they are entitled to get whatever the stipulation of the ksuba is. Halacha Yud Gimel, 13. Mi shetziva b'shas misasa lakar echem etnoi ksuba, kigon sh'omar, al yizona b'nosa b'nachasav, o, al tizan al menasa b'nachasav, o, al yushaban of ksubas iman, ein shomin lo. If a man at the time of his death, before dying, wants to and commands that one of the conditions of the ksuba not be honored. For example, he says, let my daughters not be fed from my estate, or my widow should not be fed from my estate, or his son should not inherit the ksuba of their mother. We pay no attention to him, because he became obligated at the time of marriage to do all these things. Nasan kol nechasa b'matana l'acherin, ho ilumat neshchiv m'ra'ei nekona ela l'achar misa kamo sheyizbar, harei ha'matana v'chiva nechasa b'tnaim elu b'ayin ke'echa. If a man, prior to his death, gives all of his estate as a gift to some other people, to strangers, since the law is that the gift of a shchiv mira, a person who is very ill and thinks he's going to be dying, does not have the effect to belong, that it belongs to the recipient, until after he dies, as will be explained later on. Therefore, the gift, as well as the conditions, these stipulations, do not really take effect until after death. They both come together at the same time. Therefore, the widow and the daughters will be supported and fed from his estate, and his male sons will inherit the ksuba of their mother, the mother who died in the lifetime of her husband, because the gift does not take precedence over these obligations. Halacha Yudalit 14. A daughter of a woman who made her refusal, that is, a minor who was married by her, who is an orphan, and married by her mother and brother, and then she refuses to remain with her husband, she's then free to go, and she has a daughter. This daughter is like any other daughter, and she is entitled to be fed by the father, by the father's estate. But the daughter of a woman who was involved in a levirate marriage, who was married by her brother-in-law, Ubasa Shnia, the daughter of a woman who was forbidden rabbinically to her husband, Ubasa Arusa, the daughter of a woman who was betrothed, and her husband has relations with her, Ubasa Anuso, the daughter of a woman who was raped, and then she marries this man, and then she has a daughter. In all of these cases, they are not entitled to food after the death of their father based on this stipulation. But in the lifetime of the father, he is obligated, the father is obligated to support them, just as the case is with all other sons and daughters in the lifetime of the father. Halacha Tezuvot 15. Hama'ariz basan izonus bin ha'achin chai b'mizonuseha mishase erison shahare'en lo mizonus mi'acheha el achetisaris o achetivgar. One who betroths a daughter who is being fed from the brothers, by the brothers, is obligated to provide her food from the time of betrothal, because she lost her food from the brothers, because the obligation is only until she's betrothed or until she comes of age. Vizu ain't a begaris kadesha tazan atzma, and she is not of age in order that she can support herself. Elektana onara, she's either a minor or a maiden up to the age of 12 and a half. Ve'ain adam rotsa shetizbaza rusasa v'telich v'tishal al apsachim. No normal person would want the one whom he betrothed to become humiliated, to be humiliated by going around and begging, going door to door and begging. Halacha Tezayin 16. Niseis habas. If the daughter gets married, umiyana, then she goes through the refusal process. Onis garsha, onis almana, or she becomes divorced, or becomes a widow. Afila hi shomeres yavam, even if she's waiting to get married by her brother-in-law. But in all these cases, hoel v'chazur l'beis aviyah. We are dying low bugra, since she returns to her father's house and she has not yet come of age. Harizun is zonus minichse avia achetivgar o achetisar. She is then to be fed from the estate of her father until she comes of age or until she is betrothed. Halacha Yudzayin 17. Misha meis veniach banim ubanos yirsha habanim kol hanachasim vehim zonim esach yoseim achetivgaru o achetisarsu. If a man dies and he leaves sons and daughters, the sons inherit the entire estate, but they have to provide the food for the sisters until they come of age or until they are betrothed. But medvaram amurim, when does this apply? B'sheniach nechasim she'epsha she'izonu mehen habanu v'habanos ka'achas ad she'yivgru habanos ve'elohim hanikraim nechasim merubin. That is only if the father left such property that is enough to provide the food needs for the sons and the daughters simultaneously until the daughters become of age. And these are what we refer to as abundant properties. However, if there's not enough in the estate that he left over, but there's less than that, then we take all of the food that we're expecting to have to feed the daughters until they become of age, and we give it to them. And the rest the sons can keep. And if there's only enough to feed the daughters and nothing else, then the daughters are to be fed from this estate until they come of age or until they're betrothed, and the sons should go door to door begging. Halacha Yudches 18. When does this apply if the father left land? And if he only left movable objects, since it is a gaonic enactment that the daughter should be supported even from movable objects, then the sons and the daughters are to be fed simultaneously, equally, from these properties, these few properties, because the Gaonim only enacted with regard to movable objects, they should be equal to sons, but not superior. And this is the ruling of the Gaonim. Halacha Yotes 19. If he left land, and there was an abundant amount of land, in which case the sons are entitled to inherit, and then they became less, afterwards they decreased their value, the heirs already acquired it. If the properties were very few at the time of death, and then they increased afterwards, the sons inherit the property. Even if they did not increase, if the sons hastened, and they sold even the limited property, which they're not entitled to, as we learned before, nevertheless, the sale is valid. What happens if the estate is sufficient, is in abundance, but there is a debt against it? Or if the father had stipulated to his wife that he is to maintain her daughter, neither the debt nor the maintenance of his wife's daughter may reduce the estate. Therefore, the sons inherit all of it, and must pay the creditor's claim, maintain their father's wife's daughter during the period of time fixed by him, and provide sustenance for their own sisters until they come of age or are betrothed, and thus go out from under their care. In other words, the fact that there are debts on this estate does not diminish it. Halacha Chafal of 21. If a man leaves a widow and a daughter from her or from another wife, but there is not enough in his estate to feed both of them, the widow is to be fed and the daughter should go begging. And this is what I say, that the feeding of the daughter takes precedence to the inheritance of the son of the mother's ksuba. Shemesa b'chayi aviv, the mother who died in the lifetime of the father. V'afal pisha shneim itnai haksuba, even though they both are based on the stipulations of the ksuba. Nevertheless, the feeding of the daughter takes precedence. V'kal b'chomer hadvarim. This is a kal b'chomer. It's deducing from minor to major. Im nidachas yerusha shel torah mepnei mezonos habas, lo tidacha yerushas haksuba sheitnai bezdin mepnei mezonos habas. If we're pushing away the law of inheritance, which is a biblical law, that the male sons inherit everything, nevertheless we're pushing it away in order to feed the daughter, how much more so that the ksuba, which is only a rabbinical stipulation of the court, that should be pushed away, that should have to yield because of the importance of feeding the daughter. Halacha Chav Beis 22. Misha meis v'niyach banos gedolos uktanos v'lo hniyach bein, one who dies and leaves older daughters and younger daughters, adults and minors, and he did not leave any sons. Ein omrim yizonu haktanas achi yivgru v'yichal kashar nechasim b'shava. We do not say let the minor daughters be fed until they become of age, and the rest we should divide equally. Elakul and cholkas b'shava. We divide everything equally. The stipulation that you're supposed to feed the daughters was only in the time that there are sons. Otherwise, the daughters themselves inherit everything equally. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Tisha Asar, Mehilchas Ishos, Chapter 19 of the Laws Concerning Marriage.